Exodus chapter 2 today. Do you know that feeling when you see someone in trouble and you just feel impelled to help, to rescue, save, do something? And do you ever wonder if God has that same feeling? We find out in chapter 2. Jonathan Ferguson, where do we leave off?
Well, we left off with the Israelites in serious trouble, as Pharaoh decreed to all of his people that every boy born to the Israelites must be thrown into the Nile, destroyed, the murder of a generation. The Israelites are in desperate need of rescue.
For a little perspective, using the same estimates from chapter 1, that would be about 50 babies a day. So with that ominous edict, we pick up at verse 1. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. So the first rescuer in our story is a mom. Her name is Jochebed, married to Amram. Maternal instinct is a powerful force, but this is no small feat to defy Pharaoh.
These two parents are honored in Hebrews 11, the Bible's Hall of Faith. And all of the story that follows, the grand rescue of an entire nation, begins with two parents who have faith that their child matters and who refuse to fear the world's threats.
But hiding a baby isn't easy. Verse 3. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. The Hebrew word for basket here is ark, and the pitch coating is the same description given to Noah's ark. Perhaps Jochebed heard that God saves people in arks, and she places him carefully among the reeds, and Big Sister sticks around to keep watch. If you picture big waves and hungry hippos here, that's the movie version.
Here in the Bible, the basket stays among the reeds, and guess who finds it? Pharaoh's daughter is at the Nile to bathe, and she finds a basket. In verse 6, she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said.
Verse 7 is my favorite part of the story. The big sister, Miriam, steps up to Pharaoh's daughter, the peasant to the princess. Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? And watch this. Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you.
So Jochebed saves her son's life, and now she's paid to nurse her own child. Big sister's courage paid off. Then in verse 10, when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water.
So this is Moses. His name means drawn out, and that will come to describe much more than just a baby in a basket. History will look back on a man who reshaped the world, the prophet who led Israel out of bondage. Jews today look to Moses as the greatest Jewish leader and prophet, the writer of the Torah, and I quote, arguably the greatest figure in Judaism other than God. But for now, he's just a baby.
So Moses grew up in the palace. Acts 7 tells us that he was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. The historian Josephus tells us that Moses was a warrior and set in line to become Pharaoh, though we can't verify that. But we do have two key stories here, beginning in verse 11. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand.
So Moses' first story is another rescue. Don't miss that. Moses sees a Hebrew, his kin, getting beat, and he is hot-blooded, ready to kill. And notice, from the first, Moses has a heart to rescue.
True, but this rescue is also vigilante justice. Moses murders a slave driver, an Egyptian. Moses has taken sides with his birth family.
Then in verse 13, Moses is ready to rescue again. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?
But check the response. The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Watch this. He challenges Moses' authority. Who made you judge? And he's right. Moses may have the right heart, but he had no authority to step in.
This guy is cold as ice. He doesn't care who Moses is. And he knows that Moses had killed the Egyptian. Moses had looked this way and that. There was no one. but he hadn't looked up. Back in 14, then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
Now, Midian is a long way from Egypt. He traveled about 125 miles, 200 kilometers to get to Midian in modern-day Saudi Arabia. It's a desert, and Moses sits down at a well.
Verse 16. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. Moses just can't stop trying to rescue, like it's in his blood. And he not only rescues the girls, he even waters their sheep.
I love this part. These 7 sisters arrive home to tell their dad, Reuel, about the stranger who rescued them, and dad's first response, "And where is he? Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." He's got 7 daughters, the local men are jerks, a mystery man comes to their rescue, and they leave him behind? Go get him!
Reuel is one of the Bible's best mystery characters. His name means friend of God. Later, he's called Jethro, probably a title. He's not Hebrew, but he is a priest in Midian. Did he know the true God? We don't know the whole story, but he's interesting. And with 7 daughters, he's been waiting for a guy like Moses.
And Moses agreed to stay and married Reuel's daughter, Zipporah. Verse 22. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land."
Bible names are important. Gershom means foreigner. This is Moses' life now. He's an outsider. And this is God's training ground for Moses. He will know what it is to be a foreigner.
Wait a second here. Hold on. Have you been sneaking foreigner songs in just for this?
What? I'm just telling a Bible story.
Hot-blooded, cold as ice, waiting for a guy like Moses?
I don't know what you're talking about. Quit playing head games and let's finish the chapter.
Verse 23. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them.
This is the heart of the story. It's not just Moses' heart to rescue. It is God's heart at the center of this story. God hears. God remembers his covenant. And God cares. And God is preparing the heart of a rescuer. And in chapter 3, Moses wants to know what love is.
Chris, that one is weak. It has nothing to do with the story.
I know, but it's their biggest song. I had to.
Stretch.
Yeah, I regret it now. I was going to use Jukebox Hero, but that one came out weird.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.